today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. You're tuned into Family Talk, which is a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm James Dobson, and I want to talk to you today about a very important topic, and it has to do with your child's school years, from elementary school even through college, for those who get that far. I'm very concerned about what is happening to the next generation, because a child and even a young adult in that time is very, very vulnerable to what they're taught and what's modeled for them in the classroom. And as we know, progressive educators have in recent years, not all of them, but many of them, have focused on your kids. And they want to teach their students a different way of thinking, a different ideology that's designed to mold them and shape their worldview. And it's something to be concerned about. So parents need to take a stand. You need to be aware of what's being taught to your kids. And I'm telling you, if you see things like that happening in your schools and you're unable to defend your child or to use your influence to change what they're experiencing there, I have strongly said, and I still believe, get them out of there. Whatever you have to do to shield them from it, whether it's homeschooling or Christian schools or enrolling them in a good charter school or private school, there are many positive things happening in Christian education. And so we're going to focus on that with today's program. Now, last fall, my colleague, Dr. Tim Clinton, sat down with Dr. Robert Sloan, the president of Houston Baptist University, and they discussed some very encouraging trends in Christian education and universities and the overall mission of these institutions. Dr. Sloan explained how a Christian educator's role in preparing students can really help them apply their faith and develop a career that's consistent with what they believe. Here now is the conversation between Dr. Robert Sloan and Dr. Tim Clinton on this edition of Family Talk.
Seated here in studio with me, Dr. Robert Sloan from Houston Baptist University, president of Houston Baptist University. Dr. Sloan, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
Dr. Sloan, you've been involved in Christian higher ed for a long time.
I really have. It's been more years. Well, I can count them, but it's still been a lot of years. I've been in university administration for, well, I've been a university president or chancellor for, oh my goodness, 23, 24 years, and a dean a couple of years before that.
Baylor University, right before HBU. You've got 13 years. You're in your 13th year now at HBU. Dr. Sloan, talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of trends in Christian higher ed. What should parents be thinking about, and where are we going?
Sure. Glad to. Higher education has been my life for a long time, and specifically Christian higher education. I actually had an opportunity a number of years ago to be considered at a state university, and it didn't take me a second to say no, because I'm so committed to Christian higher education and see it as an arm of the church. As members of the church, as members of the body of Christ, we're supposed to be able to speak for the lordship of Christ in any situation or circumstance, and that means the life of the mind, the life of research, teaching, thinking, all of those significant topics. So I'm very much committed to Christian higher education and seeing what our commitment to Christ means.
And when a student graduates from a Christian school, they should have a Christian education. And the goal is to produce what?
Well, to produce young people who live their faith out in the world, whatever the discipline, whatever the career, whatever the vocation, and they'll change many times, of course, as we all know. We want them to be salt and light in the world. They've made a commitment, the Christian students have, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we try to help them think about and understand, you know, what does that mean in the world? And, you know, you asked how are things going in Christian higher education and what should parents be thinking about? Well, I think there's good news and there's challenging news. The good news is that I think Christian universities are much more self-aware about their identity, about who they are. There's a much clearer sense of needing to define ourselves and understand our history, our purpose, our mission, and what we're actually trying to do. We can't just muddle along. So that's the good news. There's a greater intentionality about a Christian worldview. I think the bad news really in some ways has been going on for a long time, all the way back into the 19th century, the 20th century. There has been a steady decline of Christian institutions. And particularly, of course, I think in the latter part of the 20th century, we've seen what has been identified as a drift with regard to Christian universities. So I think parents ought to be aware of that. It doesn't mean that every kid needs to go to a Christian school. I totally get that. There's a wonderful place for secular institutions, for public schools, and so on. But parents need to be aware. If you've raised your child in the church, if you've raised your child to be committed to Jesus Christ, then be well aware of the very different environment that child may get when they go to a secular school.
I think a lot of parents get afraid sending their kids off to college, thinking that's the place that typically they're going to lose their way. And having a Christian environment isn't going to necessarily guarantee that that won't happen. But boy, I'll tell you, when you've got professors and maybe convocations or services and more that continue to give that opportunity to speak into their everyday life, when the lectures, right down to the individual lectures in the classroom, are locked into the mission of the university, it matters.
Makes a huge difference. I mean, there's actually data to show that kids raised in the church, raised committed to Christ, there is a very different longitudinal effect in terms of their commitment to Christ, as to whether they go to a secular institution or whether they go to a Christian institution. As you said, there's no guarantee. Going to church and singing in the choir and going to a Christian school is no guarantee of anything. But the probability and the opportunity to have Christian faith reinforced.
You know, there's been some real challenge toward or against, I guess, Christian institutions. Overreach by the government at times. I think there was really fear. There's some real concern. What are you seeing there? Are you seeing any positive developments? Are you worried about the future of Christian ed?
Well, I think you have to be very concerned. I'll use the word concerned long term. The trend for the last decade clearly was towards greater government encroachment on religious liberties. That was very obvious to us in our everyday experience. Government policies about housing, about gender issues, about having to provide our employees with abortion-inducing drugs. Those were the kinds of pressures that we were put under. So we at HBU, we clearly resisted those. We were part of lawsuits against the federal government regarding the HHS mandate, which was going to force us to provide abortion-inducing drugs through our insurance policy for faculty and staff. And so, that's a clear violation of our religious liberty. But we have seen some good steps in the last couple of years. We have been able to breathe a small sigh of relief that government encroachment and government pressure has
with the current administration.
Correct.
Yeah, Dr. Sloan, I know Dr. Dobson, and I stand with him on this. We are clear on advocating for Christian education. Mom, Dad, listen, it does matter. Any opportunity you have to help channel your son or daughter in a place where they can be influenced for Christ, get it done.
This is something that astonishes me, that seriously Christian people who have either small financial means or large financial means would choose to express their Christian stewardship to an institution that rejects. I'm not saying all public schools do that, because they don't, but there are clearly some institutions and their environments that reject everything basically that Christians stand for. And yet you find still some Christian folk, maybe because of the athletic program or an alumnus loyalty, will give huge amounts of their resources.
That's concerning.
Absolutely. Give to the Lord's work, your church, to missions, to Christian universities. Give to things that honor Christ.
Let's throw a couple of tidbits out there for parents. Prepping your son or daughter for college. Hmm. Any thoughts to mom and dad about getting them ready for school?
Yes. I mean, of course, it begins very early. It's not the kind of thing you can simply do
the senior year.
The senior year in high school.
Trying to get an SAT score where we need it to be or whatever.
Yeah. Now, better late than never. I will say that. So even if wherever your child is in the process. But of course, the strength of a home, the strength of a marriage, the strength of a commitment to a local church, Christian friendships, those things matter. And that's not sheltering your child. That's actually allowing your child to grow with a vigorous Christian worldview. Because, listen, our kids are not sheltered. Anybody that's got a television set or an iPhone or drives down a highway and sees a billboard, it's very silly to say that our children are sheltered. Nobody is sheltered from the encroachments of our secular age. So, you know, we have to, in a sense, you know, fight back. And I mean, by that, I mean really struggle vigorously for the souls and minds of our children. It's a battle for the mind and heart. We have to teach them to be critical, to think, to ask questions, not to be gullible. We have to teach them to be resilient and tough and strong, because they will encounter opposition. They'll be put under tremendous pressure. They are in grade school, middle school, high school, but also college. They'll be put under tremendous pressures to compromise their beliefs, tremendous peer pressure for behaviors that are not consistent with everything that, you know, mom and dad teach us in our grandparents and our churches. It's a whole lifetime of preparing them.
You bet. You are right. The challenge is coming against them in their everyday life for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They've got to learn to think critically. Mm-hmm. They've got to understand how to integrate their faith or anchor themselves in their faith as they move into their profession. Dr. Sloan, I know under your leadership at HBU, you've done some really bold moves, including, by the way, bringing Division I football back to Houston Baptist University. Tell us about those kind of moves and why you think they're significant.
Well, those kinds of things, and I would say athletics, extracurricular activities for students, clubs and organizations, even fraternities and sororities, graduate programs, all of those things are part of having a comprehensive university. When we say Jesus Christ is Lord, that means he's Lord over all. And as Colossians 1:15 and following says, over all things visible and invisible. So there's not a square inch of reality that comes outside the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that means that young people need a fully rounded experience. And what we want them to have, I hope they'll have at any good Christian university, is a kind of comprehensive experience. We don't want them to think that, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to go to a Christian school or be a Christian, I have to cut off my entertainment life or my social life. It just needs to be properly channeled. So music is one. Wonderful. It's a gift of God. Sports, athletics, those are fabulous things. They encourage us to be fans, to be loyal, to have enthusiasms, to be with our friends. Those are all wonderful things. They have to be appropriately channeled.
The arts, they say in Christianity, if we don't figure out how to take back the arts, we lose.
I think that's absolutely right. I remember speaking with the chief of staff of a U.S. senator a number of years ago. It was Rick Santorum's chief of staff, I don't mind saying. As we know, Senator Santorum, a strong Christian man.
Yes.
He had his chief of staff, and I had lunch together, and that's exactly what this young man said. He said the arts are absolutely critical, and of course he made the comment, I think it was the first time I'd heard it. I've heard it many times. In fact, I read it again this morning, that politics is downstream from culture. You know, hearts and minds and so on. But music, entertainment, business, the financial markets, theology, all of those, sports, all of those things tremendously influence the way a total culture is shaped. So we want young people, when they come to the university, yes, it's the first job is study and the books and the degree. But within that framework, we're also teaching them how to be fully human. Christ was fully human. He of course, healed and he taught and he ate meals. If you read the Gospel of Luke, you see repeatedly that Jesus had meals and was criticized for the fellowship that he had with people. So we want them to have a fully rounded experience under Christ.
You're listening to Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm your host today, Dr. Tim Clinton. With me in studio, Dr. Robert Sloan, president at Houston Baptist University, quite a scholar in his own right, theologian, administrator. He's so well respected. And we're having a fascinating discussion on Christian education. One big bold move you made recently, too, was to transition into this whole online education world. And I want to talk about a global center you just have developed and that we've got a little bit of commonality on, but your transition in that world, why?
To me, it's part and parcel of being in the world but not of the world. Had you asked me 10 years ago as a college administrator what I want to do online, I would have said no, because I think, you know, it's best if we have relational experiences, face-to-face experiences, person-to-person. But here's the reality. That's not where the marketplace is. The explosion of digital knowledge and of information has opened up new avenues and new ways to deliver and experience higher education. The largest market in higher education right now is not with the traditional experience of a kid goes off when he or she is 18 years old. They go to college for 4 or 5 years and live in the dorm and so on. Yeah, there's still lots of kids who are blessed to have that experience, but that's not the majority experience anymore. Most hours sold in the United States are part-time. They're in community colleges. They're part-time students. They're people. The average age of the university student is getting older. And so we had to decide, are we going to stick with only that model of being residential and on campus? Or are we going to make a Christian university experience available with academic integrity, with spiritual integrity, through the best means of delivery that we possibly can? And so we made that decision a number of years ago. We started very slowly to develop online courses for our own students. They can take our courses and some online courses if they have a schedule to work or something that requires an online course. And then we've expanded that greatly in the last year and a half,
well,
2 years.
Well, it's pretty exciting. It looks like God really has his hand on those efforts there. You launched recently a global center for mental health care and ministry. And inside that, you've developed an undergrad program, I think, in psychology. You've got a number of master's degrees in counseling, marriage and family, human services, pastoral counseling, and more. And what's unique about what you've done there at HBU is you've been able to bring in, and it's kind of like a robust new next generation or next level of online education. You're bringing some of the world's best minds in that mental health field into that classroom, which is unique. It really is unique. It's the trend that's happening right now in online. Actually, I love that and wanted to tip my hat to you and see great things coming. I made a statement. I predict that HBU, with this transition, will be a national, probably an international leader soon, if not very soon, in this whole mental health space. We know mental health issues are what? I mean, they're exploding. And the need for mental health providers, it's everywhere. Every state in the country is looking for mental health providers. Tell us a little bit about this transition for you all.
Sure, it's very exciting. For years, we've had a very large department of Christian counseling and psychology at the undergraduate and graduate level. But in recent years, you know, because of the great needs, family needs, gender issue needs, addiction, suicide, and so on, in our culture, we have realized we not only need to do this on campus, but off campus, that is to say, in the online space as well. And of course, as you well know, we now have this wonderful strategic alliance with the American Association of Christian Counselors. So we became the sponsor of AACC a year ago at the Global Conference in Nashville, and this year here we are again in Dallas. Not only with the faculty that we already have and are bringing to campus, people like Eric Johnson and others, great, outstanding faculty members, but also through the networks of the AACC, outstanding intellects and psychologists and practitioners who understand what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ and to interpret that commitment into real day-to-day issues of addiction and depression and marriage and family issues. So it's very exciting. Yes, you're right. That space is exploding for us, this new Global Center for Mental Health Care and Ministry. We expect to see additional hundreds and thousands of students nationally and internationally participate.
Well, again, the need is great. I know there's many probably, even those who would be listening right now, that people often come to you for prayer, for wisdom and direction with issues in their life. And you wish you knew how to use the Bible more effectively. You wish you knew what to say when you don't know what to say, what to do when you don't know what to do. That's what I really believe online education is all about. Being able to, like you say, reach out to those who otherwise probably couldn't go to school. They don't have to leave, pull up roots, and head to Houston or any other city in the country. They can study at home, online, and get a world-class education. You know, a big tip of the hat to you, Dr. Sloan, on all this leadership. I wanted to jump into one other area. I know our time's flying by here. Again, fun discussion, but you have an interesting twist in your life in that you write, I think they call it young adult fiction. Is that right?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, one, it's something I've always wanted to do, but until about 13 years ago, did not actually have the time or space. But I was in a transition between my time at Baylor University and at Houston Baptist University. And just before HBU contacted me to consider being their president, I was on a study leave. You know, I had that time, and the ideas for a series, young adult fiction, sort of came to me, and I began to write it down as rapidly as I could to outline the plot. I now have two books in the area, and book number three is at the final editing stages, and book four is in rough draft form. There should be five or six of these. But one of the things that has to be captured in our culture is the imagination. And we talked about this earlier. You know, music, literature, the arts, these are tremendous influences. And so there's so much literature in so-called young adult fiction or fantasy. I wanted books that would not be what I would call Christian allegories. They're not obviously Christian, but there is a subterranean effort on my part to inject all those things that sort of set the framework for a Christian worldview. So there's biblical imagery, which I think is, again, sort of subterranean. Great values, you know, the struggle of good against evil. They're, you know, supernatural worlds and travel to another world.
Yes.
And young people who face real fights and struggles and their weaknesses and battles. So it's been exciting to me, and I do see it as a part of my work as a Christian wanting to, you know, share Christ.
The primary character through this?
Yeah, his name is Hamlin Stoop, and it's an identity question. He was a young man as a baby, left the door of an orphanage in the 1950s in Texas, and so he wants to know who he is. You know, the question of identity is a very big issue today. People say, well, they recite their gender, one of 17 genders and that sort of thing, and different ethnicities and so on. But, you know, in the ancient world, the question is, you know, what's your name? Who are your parents? Where are you from? And those are the deep questions. Of course, as Christians, our identity has now been found in Christ. The new creation has started in Him. We are in Christ. We have a new identity. But that's what his story is about. Who is he? Where are his parents? What are the things that have caused his life to take such an unusual turn? He starts off by running away from the orphanage, and then in that venture realizes that he might have been running away, but he got called to do something important.
I suppose that you would love every mom and dad to make sure their son or daughter got into the series. How can they learn more about this novel series?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Well, they can look at Hamlin Stoop, HamlinStoop.
Hamlin Stoop.
Or they can find it on Amazon. Look up Robert B. Sloan and look up the Hamlin Stoop books. The first one is called The Eagle, the Cave, and the Footbridge. And I love doing it, and I have a deep sense of a commitment and mission about the imagination and the power of the imagination to change the heart and the mind.
I think it speaks to the caliber of your leadership,
what you
want to see in the next generation.
Thank you.
Dr. Sloan, final word from you to mom and dad on Christian Ed. If you only heard one thing today, hear me on this.
That ideas matter and influences in the life of your child matter, whether they are in grade school, middle school, high school, or the university, higher education. Ideas matter. Influences matter. Where they go, the people they're around, the friends they make, the activities they have, and the ideas. Ideas are slow, but they are long-term, and those things influence behavior. So take very seriously, the education of your children, and start right there in your home and in your church.
Thank you for taking time. And Dr. Sloan, I know we'll be watching and praying with you.
Thank you.
Seeing good things happen in Houston Baptist University.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
This is Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to some pretty inspiring words to end today's edition of Family Talk. Parents must remain vigilant to battle secular ideologies and opinions that threaten their children each and every day. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about Dr. Robert Sloan or Houston Baptist University. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast icon at the top of the page. You can also connect with us via social media by searching for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. There you'll find many of our popular broadcasts, engaging articles, and information crucial to your family. Don't get preoccupied by the negative and oftentimes obscene material online. Simply find our profiles on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube by searching for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Thanks so much for making time today and every day this week to listen to each of our broadcasts. Be sure to join us again Monday for more insightful interviews right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Have a blessed weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Roger Marsh with a special offer for you from Family Talk. During the month of April, we're giving you the opportunity to get a copy of a resource that's one of Dr. Dobson's best-selling books. It's called When God Doesn't Make Sense. Now, this is a resource that will help you hold on to your faith during difficult times, especially when it doesn't seem like God's even hearing your prayer. We'll be happy to send you a copy of Dr. Dobson's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, as our way of thanking you for your gift of $20 or more to Family Talk right now. Go to drjamesdobson.org to learn more. That's drjamesdobson.org.